So let us be still together as we prepare to worship God. From the prophet Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So this is usually the Sunday where we all get a right good belly laugh at those who've turned up an hour late. There was the terrible year when it was me and I was leading the worship, which is all a bit scary. And this year I have particularly excelled myself with an alarm call at 4:30 in the morning. Hurrah! And so my lovely husband isn't speaking to me. So we will join together to sing. We'll try and sing in the same room. Ride on in majesty.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm at a different spot in the service this morning. I'm getting in early. Hello. I'm going to lead us all in some prayers of thanksgiving this morning, and it's interactive. If you have children in the background, this is very definitely suitable for children. So if you want to call your children to come and join in, that would be really good. Today, I know, is Palm Sunday. And when I think of the word palm, I think of people waving palm leaves as Jesus entered Jerusalem. But I also, my mind being as it is, also goes to the idea of my hand, the palm of my hand. And forgive me if this is a bit of a cheat on Palm Sunday, it's a bit of a play on words, but we're going to use our hands to pray prayers of thanksgiving today. So if you can show me your palm, that would be fantastic. Make sure it is your palm, not the other way around, because we could get into some rather disturbing hand gestures in the next few moments with our fingers, and we don't want that on the recording, okay? So make sure it is your palm, and we're gonna go through our fingers and pray. We're gonna start with this finger, the index finger, so wiggle that finger. So yeah, this is the finger that points. So we're going to think about people that point us in the right direction. So you might want to just think about your partner or a friend or a minister or a teacher if you're at school, someone who points you in the right direction, and just quietly thank God for that person. Next, we're going to use our middle finger. Give that a wiggle. This finger is typically taller, higher than all the other fingers if you look at your palm. So we're going to think about people who are in authority, people who, in a way, rule over us. So I'd like us to say thank you, whatever our political beliefs, for our parliament and for our government, for our MP, for our council. Thanking God that, you know what, however bad we might think our government is, we're not living in somewhere like North Korea, are we? We have a lot of freedom and democracy in this country. So we're going to thank God for them. Then we're going to wiggle our ring finger. If you're married, sometimes you'll have a ring on that finger. And we're going to thank God for the people that we love. You don't have to be married to do that. But we're going to think of someone that we particularly want to thank God for, someone that we really love. And for all of us, I hope that will include Jesus. Then we're going to go to our little finger. This is like the weakest finger. It's very difficult for me anyway to wiggle my little finger without wiggling the others. So, oh, some people can. That's very good. I can't do that. It's very weird. And this is the little finger, and it represents, it's the weakest finger. So we're going to thank God for people who care for the weak and the sick and the needy in our society. And you might want to like thank God for someone particularly, maybe a GP or a surgeon or a counsellor or a physio, someone who has helped you in the past as well at this time. And lastly, we're going to wiggle our thumb, which is further away from all the other fingers. So we're going to think about people abroad, people who are far away from us. We're going to think about missionaries. We're going to think about people who work for charities in other countries where it puts them in danger or in difficult situations. And we're going to thank God for them. And you may have a particular charity that you want to thank God for. Lastly, we're going to show our other palm. We're going to put our palms together. We're going to say amen. And then we're going to put our arms open. And I'm going to say, for the moment, bye-bye.
Now let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So here we are on the road to Easter.
Thank you. You're a trader like me. You know what it's like the week before Passover. Our busiest time just before the festival. People coming in from out of town. Well, I saw these two fellas coming in from up country. I thought I'd have a bit of fun with them. They won't know the price of my figs, but go on, Jacob, you tell them, son. You were there too.
I couldn't believe it. These two men started untying Dad's young donkey just from where I tied him up a moment ago. I shouted, "Oi, what are you doing? I'll get my dad on you."
Chip off the old block, see? But those two fellas looked me right in the eye and said, "The master needs it." I thought, what's he need my donkey for? Then I recognised them. They were two disciples of Jesus, the one they're all talking about. But I don't know. I didn't have anything to say, so I just let them take him. I think I even smiled. Me?
We went with them.
Well, I wanted to make sure I got my donkey back.
And they led us up to Bethphage. There were loads of people there, all with that funny accent from Galilee. They threw a couple of cloaks onto the donkey's back, then their rabbi came.
And it was that Jesus, just like I thought.
And he sat on our donkey.
Now, you know the donkey I'm talking about? He's never been ridden. I was expecting the rabbi to be bucked off at any moment. But it was the exact opposite. My little colt pricked up his ears and seemed to be enjoying himself. Everyone was enjoying themselves. It was quite the party. Go on, son, you tell them.
I've never seen such a crowd before, except in Jerusalem itself, of course. All singing, all dancing, like Dad when he's been on the wire.
Yeah, all right. I meant tell them about people taking their coats off and laying them on the road for the donkey. My donkey to walk over.
Not just coats, Dad. People were tearing branches off the palm trees and waving them and throwing them on the ground for the donkey to walk over. It was like a royal procession.
I didn't know what all the fuss was about. They were singing, "Hosanna in the highest heaven! Hosanna to the Son of David!" All this for a rabbi from Nazareth. But as we swept down the Mount of Olives, it was like a wave. Jerusalem was already sizzling like a brazier. Didn't need any more fat on that fire, but as we arrived, you could feel the tension. Those Pharisees looking on and sneering. As soon as the singing and dancing died down, I grabbed my donkey back quick.
I put him back to bed.
Yeah, but have you given him some water?
No.
That's a good idea. Let's you and I go and get a drink. I'm exhausted.
Psalm which Diane Slater is going to read to us is the Hallel, from which we get Hallelujah, from the Psalms 113 to Psalm 118, the words that they would have said. And when it says that they sang a hymn at the Last Supper, this is what they would have been singing at the end. And then from Mark, which James Mason will read to us, the story of the season, riding into Jerusalem, a very bold prophetic sign to those who had eyes to see.
Give thanks to the Lord, because he is good and his love is eternal. Let the people of Israel say, his love is eternal. Open to me the gates of the temple. I will go in and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. Only the righteous can come in. I praise you, Lord, because you heard me. Because you have given me victory. The stone which the builders rejected as worthless turned out to be the most important of all. This was done by the Lord. What a wonderful sight it is. This is the day of the Lord's victory. Let us be happy. Let us celebrate. Save us, Lord, save us. Give us success, O Lord. May God bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. From the temple of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God. He has been good to us. With branches in your hands, start the festival and march around the altar. You are my God, and I give you thanks. I will proclaim your greatness. Give thanks to the Lord, because he is good and his love is eternal.
As they approached Jerusalem near the towns of Bethphage and Bethany, they came to a Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two disciples on ahead with these instructions. Go to the village there ahead of you, and as you get there, you will find a colt tied up that's never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if someone asks why you're doing that, say that the master needs it and would send it back at once. So they went and found the colt out in the street, tied to a door of a house. And as they were untying it, some of the bystanders asked them, what are you doing that, untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them, and the crowd let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks over the animal, and Jesus got on. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, whilst others cut branches into the field and spread them on the road. The people who were in front and those who followed behind began to shout, praise God, God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord. God bless the coming kingdom of King David, our Father. Praise be to God. Jesus entered Jerusalem, went to the temple and looked around at everything. But since it's already late in the day, he went out to Bethany with the 12 disciples.
Warmest greetings to you from Kingston Nike Reformed Church, where I, Leslie Charlton, am one of the ministers. This is our reading for Palm Sunday. Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, and then 19 and 29, Mark 11, verses 1 to 11. Read those texts, please, then come back in and listen to the sermon. If we can help you, if we can pray for you, get in touch. We're most glad. There's a battle going on, and it's the same battle that happens every year. Premature joy is what it's about. Palm Sunday, lovely, hooray. But for Palm Sunday to mean anything, we have to go into the darkness of Holy Week to know the light and the joy of Easter Day. Now, we need no practice with darkness this year. But one thing I would say to some of you, and it matches what I'm seeing, is if you have sailed through this year without any moment of sadness or any anxiety, I would say you've got some work to do. Some work about empathy, some work about imagination. It's okay for us. Most of us are okay with our homes and our pals and our church networks, but what about others? So let's be brave enough to feel the precariousness of it. So Jesus goes into Jerusalem to challenge the Romans and the leaders of the people. He's challenging political and religious oppression. The people might be dancing in the streets, but they're doing this because they are ignorant. Jesus has set this up. He's declaring his hand. He's calling out the people, the leaders of the people, declaring that something new is going to happen. Wouldn't it be great if being a Christian was actually what most people think it is? Just about being nice to people and going to church on a Sunday. Wouldn't that be marvellous? Bliss and nonsense. 340 million Christians around the world are persecuted for their faith. Thousands are killed and their buildings are attacked. There are parts of the world where being a Christian is so deadly that when the church has an opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus, they are cautious about doing so because they know that they will be putting that person at such risk. Jesus is going towards an encounter with the Romans and the leaders of the people, which may lead to death. He is prepared to go. We are fortunate in the UK that that is not our calling, but we need to remember that we are part of the worldwide church, and the cross of Jesus is a sign that suffering is part of our call. The Easter story is a story of life from death. Too many of us would like to jump right over into the second part of that sentence. One of my sons-in-law has been telling me off for behaving in a socially awkward way. Not for the first time, brothers and sisters, let me say. But when people ask me how I am, people who know ask me how I am, I'm saying, sad. My father died 3 months ago. I will not pretend that it didn't happen. I will not gloss over the dementia and death to make you feel easier. If you don't want to know, don't ask me. And I am starting a wee campaign which says that when it comes to what does it mean to mourn as a Christian in Britain in 2021, it means if you're sad, you say you're sad. We will not pretend. We take the pain seriously. That doesn't mean that we deny the reality of God and Easter. But the Easter story is not for the faint-hearted. It's of beatings and torture and injustice. It's about show trials. It's about the abuse of power by politicians and religious leaders. It's about disloyalty and the betrayal of friends. And the people are singing in the streets. The words of Psalm 118 are those used as they went up to Jerusalem, rejoicing words as they would enter the city. Hurrah, we're here. It's going to be great. It's going to be holy. It's going to be fun. Hurrah. We call this narrative the story of the triumphal entry. We call it that because we can't bear to call it by what should be its real name, the anti-triumphal entry. Jesus comes on a donkey. Pilate comes in on a horse with his soldiers around him. That is a triumphal entry. Hey, you plebs, get out of the way. Look at me, I'm coming through. Jesus comes on a donkey, which fulfills the prophecy in Zechariah. This is how the Messiah would enter into Jerusalem, not on a war horse, actually, not even on a horse, but on a donkey. The Messiah enters Jerusalem and does away with war forever. It's a sort of joke, a sort of lampoon of how a conqueror enters a city. And it is interesting at those times when we have a prophecy and we just don't want to hear it. That bit in the scriptures about the teaching of Jesus that says that we need to pick up our cross every day. Or the teaching that Jesus offers to his disciples about his death, which they just can't bear to hear. Jesus is leading a demonstration. You don't believe me? This is surely just simple Jesus, meek and mild, who got caught up in something and swept along. No. Look at verse 11. Jesus entered Jerusalem in such a display, and then he went into the temple, had a quick look around, and he left. He and his disciples went back out of the city again to Bethany. Jesus is a political animal. Me might want to avoid conflict by saying, oh, no. Politics and religion, they just don't mix. We're not having anything to do with that. But let me ask you, what is more religious than the fact that our aid budget has been smashed and people will go hungry as a result? What would be more of an outworking of the hungry needing to be fed than that. By the time of Jesus, Psalm 118 is being used for festivals, and sometimes with palm branches or with a prayer for the return of King David. That's what would have been expected as the climax of a kingly entering onto the stage. The donkey bit is a sign that there's something very different going on. But there is a demonstration here. There is a look, lads and lasses, something is going on. Yes, he arrives on a donkey. Yes, a leader, but a very different type. A way of leadership that is about humility and about sacrifice. From the point of view of the Romans and the leaders of the people, the fact that Jesus' protest movement is non-violent doesn't make it any less dangerous. What if the Romans see this thing as being the first phase in something that could turn much more dangerous? Jesus has the support of the people. And in a way, that makes the situation more dangerous. All the way through the story in Mark, the leaders of the Jews will not engage with Jesus because he is surrounded by the people. And on the Wednesday, they give up. And it's then that Judas tells the leaders that he knows where Jesus is at night. And they turn things up again. With the crowd, Jesus is safe. Without them, they go in to arrest. There is torture and he is killed. Alone, they get him. Alone, he dies on the cross. Yes, there are some women. Yes, there are some thieves. But the nails go through his wrists and feet and he is alone. We follow someone who has political power but chooses not to use violence. We follow someone who tells us that suffering is what we can expect. And you know what? That should fill us with joy and gratitude for the days and the lives that are ours. It is good news if we are mature enough to receive it. Too many people try to live as though life was perpetually meant to be froth, and then life slams into them. We have already been told how it will be. To live is going to involve suffering. Not all the time, not deliberately, but suffering is part of the deal. And in the face of life's challenges, we are among the blessed. Firstly, we know this truth, that there will be suffering. Secondly, we have each other. We have the truths of our faith, and we need to use them at this time, and to know that God is with us. And then, of course, we know what happens next Sunday.
Let us pray. Mother, Father, God, you have your purpose for creation, and we believe that you will accomplish it through the humble love you have shown in Jesus. But many find this way hard and stumble in it. Some because they are too ambitious for themselves, others because they long to see right prevail, and some because they choose the way and find the consequences painful. So we pray for women and men in all walks of life who are committed to the accomplishment of any great purpose. Especially those whose decisions affect many people. We pray that arrogance will be humbled and impatience checked. That suffering will be endured with patience for the sake of the larger good. We pray for all women and men committed to the way of Jesus. Who follow it in spite of opposition and ridicule, who follow it in spite of the fact that the way is tough. Loving others as they love themselves. To press home the reality of holy love against prejudice, fear, and greed. Sustain them and us when their vision is clouded over by the success of ambition, selfishness, and violence. When one step forward precedes three steps back. Pray for those who have given up. And for those whose lives have been overwhelmed by bitterness and sadness and anger. For those who feel it is all so impossible and the odds are so great. Lord, we pray for those who mourn. For those who are ill and for those who minister to them. And for those making the choices about the road ahead for us as a society. Those getting things ready, and for those who are frightened. Lord, your humble way of love feels so vulnerable, so destructible. Do not let us lose our glimpses of its power and its presence. be with us when we are tested and tempted. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. I'll send out again the thing that Catherine's already sent out, for which thanks, Catherine. The notices, the Zoom notices for the Holy Week services, that basically there's a service every day, there's a time of prayer every day at 2 and at 7 that we'll join together with the Methodists. There's Compline, Anglican Compline, I'll send you the details about that. On Monday, Thursday, we're having a love feast with the Methodists. That's at 7 again. And on Good Friday, 12 o'clock, ecumenical service. 1 o'clock, it's Messy Church. 2 o'clock, another time of gathering. Easter Saturday, Easter tea. I hope you're all busy making your bonnets, which is easy for some of you, but incredibly difficult for those of us who have no manual skill whatsoever. So get a bit of ribbon and chuck it over your head and you'll be most welcome. Grab a beanie hat and stuff it on your head and you'll come along. And then Easter Day, 6:30 in the morning, real 6:30 in the morning. Gonna be a bit of argy-bargy in our house about that one. And then come back in, bring your breakfast, come in at 9, 10:30 for worship, and then 5 o'clock in the building. We think it's safe enough for that for now. So that's where we are. I'll send you all the links for all of that. Come for the tea, come for the worship. And if you come, you know, just get your Bible out and just read the whole story, if that's as much as you want to be doing. Monday, I'll be sitting by my phone, 4 till 6. Phones, if you want to have a chat with me, just give me a call. For the next 2 Wednesdays, there won't be the usual Bible study, but there'll be a meditation time. And then the Bible study is going to be looking at the Acts of the Apostles. So maybe now's a chance to read the Acts, because I know for loads of Christians, it's unfamiliar territory. There's a web link I'm sending out for a web feed for good news. Not good news, but somebody who's done some work and looked at the news and put together some things that are positive about the news. So you'll be getting that as I send this out. We're thinking about moving the daily prayers, thinking in the future of moving it from 2, maybe till 10 in the morning. If you've got any views about that, would you let me know whether you think it's a good idea or not? We need to increase the number of people who will help us keeping in touch with people. If you would be prepared to have a list of people that you would phone up regularly, or maybe not necessarily phone them up, it depends who they are, send them a card, WhatsApp them, you know, communicate with people in a way that works for them, we could do with more people. And then some news of people. Elizabeth Cole's daughter, Michelle, is making good progress. Elizabeth says, thank you for the prayers. Best wishes to the Brain family who moved this week. And Martin, could you check for me before I make the next notice? That would be great. And then give me a thumbs up. Okay, thank you. Anne Carrick has had an overnight stay in hospital this week, and I ask that you could pray for her as she regains her complete health. So we move now to have our Holy Communion, and I will firstly dedicate our gifts of money as well as the bread and wine. And I would remind you of our commitment as stewards of all the resources that God has given us, and that includes the money that we have. So let us pray. Lord, we offer all our gifts remotely, through bank transfers and checks and money put aside that will be paid later. Receive these gifts and receive the spirit of them with generosity and with sacrifice. And take the bread and the wine as an offering, that all would be acceptable to you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do not come to this table proudly, but remembering the humility of Christ. Do not come to assert your own righteousness, but to remember that Christ died for our sin. Do not come with any display of your own strength, but to comprehend his weakness. Do not come for your own ends, but hungering and thirsting to do what God requires. Come and be filled with living bread. Come in faith. Come and never thirst again. Before he was given up to death, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to God, and broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body, broken for you." When supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to God, and said to his disciples, "Take this cup. It represents the new relationship between God and mankind, sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." So we take this bread and this wine, and as Jesus gave thanks, so we give thanks. Let us pray. Amazing God, we praise you for the love made known in Jesus Christ, the love that came to us not in grandeur and splendor, with the blare of trumpets and the thunder of drums, but in tattered cloaks and broken branches, riding crowded streets to betrayal and death. Vulnerable God, we praise you for that self-emptying love which did not grasp at wealth and fame, the status of godlike celebrity, but took on the shape of a slave, becoming a nobody hanging on a cross. All-embracing God, we praise you for that triumphant love, stretching from earth to heaven, shouting out your glory for all to hear, and proclaiming your name as the wondrous, awesome name of love. All-powerful God, who has the ability to change even us, be present with us as we celebrate this feast. In our separateness, be that which holds us together, and be known to us through bread and wine. And may these gifts be transformed by your Spirit, that this bread would be for us as the body of Christ and this wine as the blood of Christ. All praise and honour be to you, our God, for now, forever. Amen. He took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, it is shed for you." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. Lord, may the blessings of this week be extravagant, unexpected, transforming. The extravagant blessings of the one who remembers those who the world will usually shun. The unexpected blessings of the one who will tell of the betrayal coming, but still shares his bread. The transforming blessings of the one who knows we will not always keep watch, but still calls us his friend. The extravagant, unexpected, and transforming blessing of Christ, beaten and crucified, be ours this week and for eternity. Lord, we pray. Amen. We join together to sing "Traveling the Road to Freedom." Please stay if you can for a breakout room. If we can help, let us know. So go in peace, to love, to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit, be with us and those who we love, wherever they are. Amen.